भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad-Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 90, Summary of Lord Krishna's Glories, Text 16 through 20. Word meanings for 16. Netre, your eyes, nimilayasi, you keep closed, naktam, during the night, adrishta, not seen. Banduhu, whose beloved? Tvam, you. Rora Rishi, are crying, Karunam, pitifully. Butta, alas. Chakravaki, O Chakravaki, female crane. Dasyam, servitude. Gata, attained. Tvayam Iva, like us. Achuta, of Krishna. Pada, by the feet, Jirshtam, honored, Kim, perhaps, Va, or, Srajam, the flower garland, Spriha Yase, you desire, Kavarena, in the braid of your hair, Vodhun, to carry. I want to mention one thing about, sometimes devotees talk about tunes and chanting. There's actually two different things. There's meter and there's tunes. The meter never changes. The meter is always the same for that particular verse. You can't change the meter, but you can change the tune. The meter is the beat. So you have long syllables and short syllables. When you have tunes, you can sing a different melody. It's like the Goswami Ashtaka that goes da 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 da. So you could chant it like that. Krishna Kirtana Gana Narkana Paru. Or you can Krishna Kirtana Gana Narkana Paru. So you can sing it with a melody. Or you can sing it basically monotone. Or you can sing different melodies. So when Raghunath Bhatta Goswami sang the Bhagavatam in three different tunes, he didn't change the meter each time. The meter stays the same, but he sang it in different melodies. That's the idea. So we always have to get the meter right. Now this is the favorite meter of Lord Brahma. We find often, of course, in the Brahma Samhita. We call it the Brahma Samhita tune sometimes. It's actually the meter. So this is an easy one, everybody knows. Netre nimilayasi naktam adrishta bandhus. Tvam rora vishi karunam bata chakravaki. Dasyam gata vayam ivachuta para jushtam. Kim vasrijam spihayase kavarena bodhum. Netre nimilayasi naktam adrishta bandhus. Tvam rora vishi karunam bata chakravaki. Dasyam gatavayam ivachuta pada jushtam. Kim vasrajam srihayase kavarena bodhum. Netre nimilayasi naktam adrishta bandhus. Tvam rora vishi karunam bata chakravaki. Dasyam gatavayam ivachuta para jushtam. Kim Vasra Jam Sprihayase Kavare Avodhum. Mete Yunina Yasinatama Pristavandhu. Angro Radishi Karanam Bhata Shatravati. Vasam Natam Vivashita Paradishtam. In Vasra Jamsri Hayase Kavarena Vodham. Netre Nimina Yasinaktam Adrishta Bandhus. Dasam Natam Jakravati. Dasyam yata vayami vati chakari chakrishna. Ladies. Netre nimila yasinattam adrishta bandhus. Vangro Radishi Karanam Bhata Chakravati. Dasam Gata Vayami Vati Kapara Kristam. Dasam Gata Vayami Vati Kapara Kristam. Vasra Jam Translation. Poor Chakravaki, even after closing your eyes, you continue to cry pitifully through the night for your unseen mate. Or is it that, like us, you have become the servant of Achyuta and hanker to wear in your braided hair the garland he has blessed with the touch of his feet? Well, this is a different meter. I always remember this meter. There's a, it's called the Govinda Damodar Stotra. Govinda Damodar Madhaveti. It's actually that. It's a line from one of the Gopi songs. I forget which one. Maybe the Songs of Separation. That's the last line of one of the verses. And who wrote that song? Who wrote Krishna Karnamrita? Bilva Mangala Thakur. I think he may have written that also. Govinda Damodar Stotra. Govinda Damodar Madhaveti. I think this is it. Bobo Sada Nishtana Seudanvan. Bobo Sada Nishtana Seudanvan. Alabda Nidro Digata Prajagara. Kimva Bhakunda Parirtatma Lanchana. Praptam dasham tvam chagato duratyayam. Translation. Dear ocean, you are always roaring, not sleeping at night. Are you suffering insomnia? Or is it that, as with us, Mukunda has taken your insignias and you are hopeless of retrieving them? Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami states that Lord Krishna's queens here confuse the sea surrounding Dwarka with the celestial ocean of milk from which Lakshmi and the Kaustubha gem arose long ago. These were taken, aparita, by Lord Krishna, and they now reside on his chest. The queens presume that the ocean is anxious to see once again the mark of Lakshmi's residence and the Kaustubha jewel on the Lord's chest. And they express their sympathy by saying that they also want to see these marks. But the queens desire even more to see the kumkum marks on the Lord's chest, which he took from their breasts when they last embraced him. Well, I think we're back to the Brahma Samhita meter here. Tvam yakshamana, no, tvam yakshamana, doesn't look like it, does it? Balavitasi grihi, maybe. Tvam yakshamana, balavitasi grihi, tadin indo, shinastamona nija dudhiti bhik, hoshi, kachin mukunda gaditani yatavayam tvam, vismritya bhosta gita girpa lakshasena. My dear moon, having contracted a severe case of tuberculosis, you have become so emaciated that you fail to dispel the darkness with your rays. Or is it that you appear dumbstruck because, like us, you cannot remember the encouraging promises Mukunda once made to you? Text 19, King Ut. Acharitam asmabhir malaya nilate priyam govinda panga nirbhinne vidirayasinasmaram. O Malayan breeze, what have we done to displease you so that you stir up lust in our hearts, which have already been shattered by Govinda's sidelong glances? Well, this is one of those long ones. Has a break about halfway through. Ega shrimang tvam asidaito yadavindrasya nunam shrivatsankam vayam iva bhavan dhyayati prema buddha atyutkanta shavala ridayo smadvido bhashpadhara smritva smritva visijati muhur dukadastat prasanga. O revered cloud, you are indeed very dear to the chief of the Yadavas, who bears the mark of Sri Vatsa. Like us, you are bound to him by love and are meditating upon him. Your heart is distraught with great eagerness, as our hearts are, and as you remember him again and again, we shed a torrent of tears. Association with Krishna brings such misery. Purport. The Acharyas explain this verse as follows. The cloud acts as the friend of Lord Krishna by shielding him from the scorching rays of the sun. And certainly such an earnest well-wisher of the Lord must constantly meditate on him with concern for his welfare. Although the cloud shares the Lord's blue complexion, it is Lord Krishna's distinctive features, such as his Sri Vatsa mark, that especially attract him to this meditation. Him meaning the cloud. But what is the result? Simply unhappiness. The cloud is depressed and thus constantly sheds tears on the pretext of raining. So the queens advise him, it would be better for you not to take much interest in Krishna. Om Jnanati Mirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Nilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. As we heard a couple of days ago, this is technically called Prema Vaichitya. Prema Vaichitriya. Actually, it's spelled two different ways. Here it's spelled T-R-Y-A, and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it's spelled T-T-Y-A, Chitya. So it's Chitya or Chitriya, Prema Vaichitriya. And this can get very technical, and I really don't know things too technically, but I'm going to give a simple explanation of how this falls in all these ecstasies. First of all, of course, we have to understand that this is a kind of unmada, or transcendental madness, on the part of the gopis. I was thinking how we're so far away from ordinary people's way of thinking. First of all, Krishna is what? They can't make any sense out of Krishna. When I first became a devotee, I gave someone a book. I think it was Ishopanishad, and there it's just Krishna described as a butter thief. So I gave it to some Christian, and he didn't like that at all. He couldn't handle that. How can God be immoral? He's a butter thief. So we have worse things to say, more shocking things. We say the highest goal of life is to be a madman, be crazy. And unmada prem unmada bashada shesha dasya garasto paramato sada. In the Goswami Ashtak, their madness comes up repeatedly in that prayer. Several times we hear about how mad they were. Prem unmada bashad. Vasha means within the grip of or controlled by. So they're controlled by the madness. So what's happening here with the queens and Dwarka, it's not that they're speaking metaphorically. They're into what they're saying. They believe that they're talking to a cloud, and that the cloud is a living person and thinking, feeling, and willing, and so on. Of course, we know in Goloka in Vrindavan, everything is conscious and so on. But we wouldn't normally think of the Dwarka and the queens of Dwarka seeing everything that way. But that's how, you know, that's how they're speaking. It's a form of madness. It's one of the ecstasies of the gopis. So we have some insight into this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm going to read a few things and make some comments here. First, this is from Mudja 19.191. It says, the chief devotees in conjugal love are the gopis in Vrindavan, the queens in Dwarka, and the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha. These devotees are innumerable. So this is one simple lesson we can learn. These are the three categories. Because sometimes we may wonder, because we tend to think of the gopis in Madhurya. At least I tend to think that way. But there are three categories, actually. The gopis, Krishna's queens, and also Lakshmi Devi. They're all considered to be in Madhurya, Pava, in that ecstasy. So in Mudja 23:57, the verse says, only in the conjugal mellow are there two ecstatic symptoms. So as the rasas unfold, the mellows, each one adds something. Like when you begin with Shanta and it has a particular quality, then you go to Dasya and it adds something to it. So when you get all the way to the Madhurya rasa, then only Madhurya rasa has these particular symptoms. Only in the conjugal mellows are there two ecstatic symptoms called Rudha, advanced, and Adhi Rudha. Rudha, I'm putting a dot under the D there. Rudha, Rudha, and Adhi Rudha. The advanced ecstasies are found among the queens of Dwarka, and the highly advanced ecstasies are found among the gopis. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, the platform of Mahabhava includes Rudha and Adhirudha. These platforms are possible only in conjugal love. Advanced ecstasy is found in Dwarka, whereas highly advanced ecstasy is found among the gopis. So now this part. Now, as I was saying, it can get very technical. If you've ever read Jiva Dharma, I read Jiva Dharma recently. I'd never read it before. But I got to one point where I just had to stop. It got so technical. It was like reading the periodic table of elements or something. It was just list after list after this. I just couldn't relate to it. So it can get quite complicated. But here's a simple, I think this is something we can all probably relate to or remember as a categorization of these things. So this is, in conjugal love, so in Madhurya Bhava, there are two divisions, two broad divisions, meeting and separation. So I think most of us are familiar with that idea. So this is called Sambhoga and Vipralamba. Sambhoga, of course, the word bhoga means to enjoy. So Sambhoga, to enjoy together. So Sambhoga and Vipralamba is separation. So these are two broad categories within conjugal rasa, meeting and separation. So each of these has divisions, and then there are subdivisions to each of these divisions. But I'm just going to talk about Vipralamba. There are four categories of Vipralamba, which I found, I just came across this. I was preparing for this class. And I said, well, I think I might be able to remember this, actually. This isn't so complicated. So it says here, this is a translation to Mudja Lila 23:64. Of the four kinds of separation, three, so these are three of the four, Purva Raga, Pravasa, and Mana, are celebrated in Srimati Radharani and the Gopis. In Dwarka, among the queens, feelings of Prema Vaichitya are very prominent. So let me go over this. So in Vipra Lamba Seva, Vipra Lamba, the ecstasy of separation, there are four categories there. And one of them, the first one is called Purvaraga. Purvaraga means you haven't met Krishna yet. That's why there's separation. You haven't met him yet. Or at least there hasn't been any contact. This Purvaraga, I'm pretty sure as I remember, it starts to come out in the Kaliya Leela. The gopis start manifesting a real kind of attraction to Krishna. So they haven't actually been together yet, but they're starting to, the feelings are coming out. So there's separation, but the feelings are there. This is called Purvaraga. Purva means previous or in the past. Raga, attachment. So Purvaraga, this is the first kind of separation, feelings of separation. The second one is called Mana. Now I think many of us are familiar with this idea, Man or Mana. Mana means, it's sometimes called pride or arrogance, or haughtiness. So when Radharani basically gets angry at Krishna for some reason, and she won't let Krishna see him. So there's separation because of that Mana. So that's the second kind of separation. Because of Mana, because of Radharani's anger, then she keeps herself away from Krishna. So there's a kind of separation there. Now all of these separations, of course, they intensify the feelings. So there's Purvaraga, there's Mana. The next one is called Pravas. Actually, the next one is called Prema Vaichitya, which is what we're talking about now. So I'll talk about that. That's generally considered, that's listed as the third one, at least, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prema Vaichitya means that you're actually with Krishna, but you're so much in love with Krishna that you're always in anxiety that Krishna's going to leave, basically. Or even when he's there, you forget he's there. So you act crazy. So that appears, that's actually what's happening here with the queens in Dwarka. And I was thinking, when I read this, I thought, for some reason in my mind, I don't know if I read this somewhere, but I had this idea that maybe the queens are standing out on the balcony, something, maybe Krishna's sleeping or something, I don't know. But somehow because it's Prema Vaichitya, it means they must be with Krishna. Maybe they're actually lying in bed with Krishna. Somehow they're in Krishna's association, but they have this feeling that they're not with Krishna somehow. So, and now of course, what does this do? It's a transcendental anxiety. They're so much afraid of being out of Krishna's association. They're so much afraid of having that separation that they imagine it when it's not even there. So it's a kind of craziness. It is. They're mad. They're crazy. They talk like crazy people. So this is Prema Vaichitya. So there's Purvaraga, Mana, Prema Vaichitya, and the last one is called Pravasa. So Pravasa means there's actual separation. Like when Krishna goes somewhere, and then like when Krishna left for Dwarka, left for Mathura, for example. So this is called Pravasa. He's in a different place. He's in a different residence, different location, so they're feeling his separation. So these are the four again. Purvaraga, Mana, Prema Vaichitya, and Pravasa. These four kinds of separation. So as the queens are speaking here, and when Srila Prabhupada, I've mentioned this before, that I've looked for Shyama Sundar, that because Prabhupada likes to use Krishna's name, Shyama Sundar, a lot. It actually only appears in one verse in the 10th canto, that name exactly. But when Srila Prabhupada translates these verses, he puts Shyama Sundar's name all over the place, even though the queens use a different name. For example, I made a list here, actually. First of all, just to review there, five different entities that the queens are speaking to today. First is the Chakravaki bird. Chakravaki is a crane, kind of crane, female crane. Then they're speaking to the ocean, the moon, the Malayan breeze, and a cloud. So when they speak to Chakravaki, they address him as Achyuta. Well, sometimes these names, they have some significance. We know in Bhagavad Gita, for example, Krishna says, Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Ratam Stapaya Me Chuta. So, O Achyuta, please place my chariot between the two armies. So, I think maybe Prabhupada comments in the purport, or at least in classes, he has made this point that why is Krishna called Achyuta? Well, Achyuta, of course, means because he's God, he can never fall down like we jivas can. But it also especially means that he never fails in his relationship with his devotees. He never fails to protect his devotees or to respond to his devotees' love. So he's actually probably said this in one lecture. He says he's taken the role as chariot driver. So Arjuna is calling him, "Oh chariot driver, don't fail in your duty." That's why he's calling him Achyuta. Don't fail in your duty to drive my chariot out between the two armies. So that's the significance of his name in this particular context. So here, in relation to these different prayers, I couldn't see any specific meaning why they're calling them these things. So maybe that's why Prabhupada took the liberty of replacing the names with Shyama Sundar here and there. So anyway, in the first one, he calls him Chakravaki. He calls, when they're speaking to Chakravaki, they refer to him as Achyuta. When the queen speaks to the ocean, she calls him Mukunda. Prabhupada calls him Shyama Sundar in that verse. When the queen speaks to the moon, she also calls him Mukunda. Prabhupada calls him Shyama Sundar in that verse. When the queen speaks to the Malayan breeze, she calls him Govinda. Some of these names of Krishna, I, at least in my mind, I'm always saying, this seems like a real Vrindavan name, doesn't it? Govinda. So you're wondering, why are the queens calling Krishna Govinda? But these are his eternal names, and apparently, of course, they know also, at least they have some vague idea that, well, they know Krishna grew up in Vrindavan, and he has his friends there, and he's known as Govinda. So they address him here as Govinda. And finally, the last queen addresses him when she's speaking to the cloud. She refers to him as Yadavendra, so the Lord of the Yadus. That we can say, well, that's more pertinent because they're in Dwarka and Krishna's there with the Yadu dynasty. But in that verse, I'm talking about Krishna's translation in the Krishna book, because of course you can see where Prabhupada is translating these verses. So in the Krishna book, Prabhupada, although he's called Yadavendra, Prabhupada calls him Shyama Sundar three times in this particular verse. So Prabhupada had a particular liking for this name, Shyama Sundar, apparently. So there's the queens, so just briefly again, they speak to the Chakravaki. Now, because they're speaking mad, when I was first looking at these, sometimes, actually, when I read things, I try to figure out what's the connection between, even in ordinary teachings in the Bhagavatam, sometimes I can't figure out how the different parts of the translation, different sentences fit together sometimes. Sometimes it's a challenge. So when I was looking at these, I was thinking, well, they're not exactly supposed to make sense. Because the queens they're speaking mad in madness. So in this first verse, first they say Chakravaki, because the Chakravaki is awake at night, apparently singing or crying from the queen's point of view. She's thinking that the Chakravaki bird is crying because her mate isn't there, apparently. Just like the queen is thinking, Krishna's not here, so I'm crying. So this bird, it must be crying because her mate is not there. But then she says, then maybe it's because you hanker to wear in your braided hair the garland he has blessed with the touch of his feet. I think a crane with braided hair? There are some cranes. I Googled it at Google Images, and there are cranes that have like a little shika, you know, they have a little bit of tuft of hair up there, but I can't imagine them braiding each other's hair. But this gopi is thinking you want to wear in the braid of your hair Krishna's garland, and that's why you're crying. So it's, and she's really, the queen, she's really obviously thinking that way. She's thinking that this Chakravaki is thinking in this way, that she's missing her mate or she wants to wear Krishna's garland in her braided hair. So it's just nonsense, obviously. It's just craziness, but that's the way the queen is thinking. And then the ocean, of course, what is the special, I remember when I lived in San Diego, we were just a few blocks from the ocean. So, especially when there's no traffic, which is very rare because we lived on a busy street, but if there's no traffic, you could hear the ocean. And one thing about the ocean is that it never stops. If you live near the ocean, you better like that sound because it doesn't stop. It goes on and on and on, over and over and over and over again. So the ocean is roaring, and what is the nature of that roar? It never stops. It's crying and crying and crying and crying. So the queens they're feeling sympathy. Oh, we can see why you're always crying. You're always crying. Because you're awake. That's why you're crying all night. You're awake all night long, roaring and crying in tears. And then they speculate, well, maybe you're actually crying because you're hankering because Krishna stole Apaharita. He stole the Kaustubha jewel from you. And you want to see that jewel again. That jewel is so beautiful. It's the most beautiful jewel in existence. Only Krishna has it. It's so unique. And you're thinking, boy, I wish I could see that close to the jewel again. That's why you're crying. And also Lakshmi, he also stole Lakshmi from you. And you, so you want to see Lakshmi eternally resides on your, on Krishna's chest is Sri Vatsa, the mark, insignia, the Sri Vatsa, the insignia of Sri on Krishna's chest. So maybe that's why you're roaring all the time, because you want to see that. Then the moon, of course, there are lots of things to say about the moon, but here, this queen is saying you have tuberculosis. Tuberculosis is also called consumption. I saw recently that that's actually becoming more cases of tuberculosis in America. But tuberculosis, consumption means because it consumes you, it eats you up. If you're very, very skinny and you're getting skinnier and skinnier, then that's a problem. We have tuberculosis, you're being consumed. So the queen is thinking the moon, because obviously it's not a full moon night, she's seeing a sliver of the moon, and she's thinking, oh, the moon is dying of tuberculosis. So you must be suffering, oh moon, and they're feeling sorry. Or are you dumbstruck because you cannot remember encouraging promises from that Mukunda once made to you? And I was saying, yeah, that's really something to lament, isn't it? Krishna said something and then you forgot it. I'm always lamenting of things I forgot. Things I read all the time and I wish I would remember. But if actually Krishna, you had Krishna's personal darshan and then he promised you, he made a promise to you and then you forgot what it was, how could you possibly forget? If Krishna said something to you, how could you possibly forget? So if you forgot, oh, how horrible, that would be the most horrible thing. You would cry and cry and cry. So the queens are thinking like that. Maybe Krishna made some promise to the moon, and now the moon, forget what it was. So that's a big problem. The Malaya breeze, let's see. What have we done to displease you? You stir up lust in our hearts. So again, she's speaking, the queen is speaking to the wind, as if the wind is actually a conscious person she can interact with. And then finally, the one queen is speaking to a cloud. Now, clouds are used often in metaphors. I'm going to read a little something from the Krishna book where Prabhupada talks about clouds. And this is in the gopis' feelings of separation. One gopi said, "My dear friends, Krishna and Balaram are nicely dressed with earrings and pearl necklaces. They enjoy themselves on the top of Govardhan Hill, and everything becomes absorbed in transcendental pleasure when Krishna plays on his flute, charming the whole created manifestation. When he plays, the clouds stop their loud thundering out of fear of disturbing the vibration of his flute. Instead, they respond with mild thunder and so congratulate their friend." So this is from Krishna book, so Prabhupada makes this comment. Krishna is accepted as the friend of the cloud because both the cloud and Krishna satisfy the people when they are disturbed. When the people are burning due to excessive heat, the cloud satisfies them with rain. Similarly, when people in materialistic life become disturbed by the blazing fire of material pangs, Krishna consciousness gives them relief like a cloud. The cloud and Krishna have the same bodily color also and are considered to be friends. Desiring to congratulate its superior friend, the cloud poured not water but small flowers and covered the head of Krishna just like an umbrella to protect him from the scorching sunshine. So this is, there's a lot that could be said about the cloud. So here the queen is speaking to a cloud. Now finally, I'm just going to read something. This is kind of tangential, but I think it has to do with the mood of how we can, our appreciation of Krishna. Sometimes, of course, we experience as preachers, we want to relate something to people, our feeling for Krishna, our appreciation of Krishna. And sometimes people, we get a blank stare or they just don't respond, for example. So this is something, this is from the Lilamrita. I've always remembered this and I've heard this tape also. So Prabhupada is speaking. This is when Prabhupada, I don't know if you know the history, Prabhupada, first he stayed a little bit in Mishra's house, not very long, on Riverside Drive. Then he moved to the yoga studio. There was a little room there with nothing. Maybe there was a sink or something. Prabhupada lived in there. And then he wanted to have his own place. So he went down a couple of floors to 307 West, whatever, the West Side Drive or whatever it's called, that street. So then he was giving classes there in that particular place. So this was recorded there This is one of those very, very early lectures of Prabhupada. So he says, we should always remember that he is God. He is all-powerful. In strength, no one could conquer him. In beauty, as far as beauty is concerned, when he was on the battlefield, have any of you seen a picture of Krishna? Have you seen? Have any of you ever seen Krishna? Oh, no? Prabhupada's voice fades as he pauses, looking out at his audience. No one has ever seen Krishna. None of them have the slightest previous knowledge of Lord Krishna. In India, hundreds of millions worship Lord Krishna daily as the eternal form of all beauty and truth, and view his graceful form in scripture, painting, and dance. His philosophical teachings in Bhagavad Gita are all famous, and Prabhupada is his intimate emissary. Yet the ladies and gentlemen in room 307 look back at the Swami blankly. I thought that was such a moving anecdote, Prabhupada's life. What he was facing there, nobody knew anything. They didn't even know what Krishna looked like. And Prabhupada is speaking with so much bhava, so much ecstasy about Krishna. So. All right, I'll stop here. Any questions or discussion? Yes, Prabhu. Do we have a microphone?
Just what you said brought something to mind, because once when I was in England, I took Srila Prabhupada for his morning walk on Lenin's estate, and he said that it was so early, 68, 69. Are you always thinking of Krishna? We didn't receive any of the books yet, you know, Krishna book wasn't there. And I said, I don't know anything about Krishna to the Prabhupada, but I always try and think about you. He said, you can just think of me as always thinking of Krishna.
Something else? All right, no problem. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.